mighty cherubim, a mighty angel fell, and then he led the human race to fall and took away the kingdom from King Adam and Queen Eve, and he's been ruling it for 6,000 years. It's coming to an end. Tom.
Amen. I'm not trying to contradict you, but
yes.
The Bible does say world without end, amen.
Yeah, now, world without end, amen, is not this evil world system. But what it is, and I appreciate you raising this, what that is, and you have to sometimes look at the context, what that is the earth will never end. In other words, this earth that we live on will be here through the day of the Lord, the terrible judgment. In fact, it's not going to destroy the earth. It's going to clean it. It's going to clean it of all the junk. And it's going to be terrible. But the world will continue, but the curse will be lifted. And that's what we've been studying. And it will be pristine and beautiful, like the Garden of Eden again.
What it's going to do is cleanse it.
Cleanse it. And then it will be wonderfully pristine and beautiful. And that's what we're studying. And that is, it almost seems like a fairy tale. They lived happily ever after. But it's only God's true fairy tale. It's not a cunningly devised fable, as the Apostle Peter said. It's true. And we are going to live happily ever after if we are saved, if we are born again. We have a wonderful future. If you're not, how many of you read the Bible with our Bible reading program? If you're not and you're reading in Ezekiel, do you see all these nations that are in the bottomless pit at the center of the earth? And they're seeing these great leaders that were exalted, and now they're brought down into hell. And they're actually comforted when they see other people in hell, because misery loves company. And I didn't see that before till I just read it, that there's actually that comfort, that misery loves company. Oh, like Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, he's brought down to hell, but he sees a bunch of other kings that are down there, and he goes, well, good, you're getting it too. And they're suffering in hell. And if you read the scripture reading, it was in chapter 31 and 32 that we were reading, I think, for today. It talks about in the nether land, and it just shows Jesus was right, the broad way. Everybody's going to wind up in hell except for just those that are saved through faith in Christ and are truly born again. So, listen, people are going to get it. So when you realize that, you want to have mercy on people. You want to pray for them to get saved, because it's going to go on and on and on. And if you're not saved, if you're not really a born-again Christian, your heart's really in this world, you've never received a new heart, and you've never had hope in Christ and faith in Christ, and you're not looking forward to the new world, then you need to be born again. And it's really important, and don't put it off. So I'm glad Tom raised that. That's very important to understand that. And that gets to what we're studying now in chapters 20 through 21 and 22. Now, let me ask you one review question for those of you that have been studying with us every week. Chapter 20 talks about the millennial reign of Christ for 1,000 years. So does 21 and 22. But what is the difference between 20 and 21 and 22? And Diane's got it. Amen. Anybody else that wants to hazard speaking? I won't embarrass you if you get it wrong. Anybody know? What is the difference, listen to me, between chapter 20 and 21 and 22? Because there is a distinction that we've looked at. Chapter 20 looks at the millennium in one way. Chapter 21 and 22 looks at something else. And I want you to understand that, because those are the things that shall be after the day of the Lord. Anybody else, you want to take a gander at it? Nobody wants to take a gander at it. All right, Diane, I'm going to give it to you.
It said overview of the millennium.
All right, she said a flyover, an overview. Chapter 20 is an overview of the beginning to the end of the millennium. It begins in chapter 20, and then it ends in chapter 20. It just does a flyover. And it ends with the great white throne judgment, where people are raised from the dead and cast in the lake of fire. Now, that is really something, because I was reading in Ezekiel about people in hell. And it said they're in hell right now, and yet their graves are around the pit. And what that means is their graves are in the crust of the earth. Their bones are buried there. Their bodies are buried there. But their souls are suffering in hell at the center of the earth. And it says that there's coming a day at the end of the millennium, the end of the thousand years, when that's called the second resurrection. Everybody that died, that went to hell in the center of the earth, their bodies are going to be raised. Like so many, not glorified bodies, but zombie bodies. And it seems that the worms will be coming right out of the bodies. It's a horrible state. It's like the zombies that people talk about. And to be standing before the Lord, and the drug addict will still have his drug craving and relief from pain, wanting it. The sex addict will still crave his fornication. And whatever addict he is, he'll still crave it in his body. And he'll be standing there in that body that's now been raised, united with his soul that came out of hell. And he's getting a break. He's like, oh, I get a break. But it's very brief because it's just to go on trial. Kind of like the Nuremberg trials. He's going to go on trial and all of his crimes are going to be presented there. All of his sins against the God of the Bible. And probably put up on a big screen so everybody can see it. Even sinful thoughts. And then a big, powerful angel is called over by the judge. Anybody know who the judge is, by the way, at this, who's sitting on the bench at this great white throne judge? Yeah.
Our Lord and Savior,
Jesus Christ. Very clear. And he's got the holes in his hands and his side and his feet. You rejected me. Now you say, well, maybe they didn't hear the gospel. But if you rejected his creation and went and worshipped an idol, you still reject him. That's his creation. You rejected me, you rejected my word or my truth, and now, unfortunately, this is what I have to do to you. I came here to save the world, but you would not take the light I gave you. And now I have to do this to you. And what a terrible thing that is. The angel is called over, and the Bible doesn't say, he says, jump into the lake of fire, because people are not going to jump in there. They just got out of hell. They're in their body. They crave what the sin. They crave their sin now. They want their sin. They're going to be picked up and cast alive into a lake of fire forever, never to get out again. And can you imagine it? So what is this world compared to that? Well, it's not worth it. But people, they choose the world over Christ. And we need to warn people and woo them to Christ. So that is the end of chapter 20. That's called the Great White Throne. And it just does a flyover. Now, in 21 and 22, you've got a detailed look at this thousand-year reign of Christ. It's like landing the airplane and getting out and looking at the trees and the forest and the flowers and looking at it in detail. And that's what we've been doing for the last few weeks. We've been trying to look at the record that John got of the revelation. Now, what's the word revelation mean? What does it basically mean? Yeah.
It means a revealing of who, what, why, and when Jesus is.
Yes, at his second coming. Don't leave that out. Because it's not about his first coming.
I know.
It's about his second coming. And you said it. It's an unveiling. It's like lifting a curtain up on a stage. And now you see a play. You know, my granddaughters, they do plays now up in Dalton. And they did one play, Little Red Riding Hood and so forth. And they had Princess and the Pea, and one played the princess, and they do a really good job. And they lift the curtain up, and you can see the play. And this is what God is doing. He's lifting the curtain up to show the play, the end time drama, how it's going to be at the end. And I got good news for you. Guess who wins?
Jesus
wins. And we win if we put our faith in him. Now, if you don't put your faith in him, you don't want to be on the other side of that. And that's not by being good that you get saved. That's by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. And so this is what chapter 20 did. And then chapter 21, we saw something coming down out of the third heaven. Something coming down on the first day of the millennium, which is the thousand-year reign of Christ over the earth. John was looking up, and what did he see coming down? Yes, Diane. Okay, Cherry, we'll give it
our
to you.
Our new temple.
What's that?
Our new temple.
Well, there's going to be the temple, but something that the temple was in. Brother Eddie?
The New Jerusalem.
The New Jerusalem. A city that we found out looked like a huge diamond. And the street of the city is made out of, listen to this, pure gold. You've heard of 24 karat gold? This gold is so pure. I have on my father's gold wedding ring with diamonds, you know. But you look at true gold, and it is beautiful. And 24 karat gold is the best you can get, right? And it's very valuable. God said, look, that's no problem to me. I paved the street with gold up there. The street is paved with it. And it's coming down, and it's so pure, it's like no gold on earth. You can actually see through it. It's like a clear glass. It's that pure. And the whole street is made of gold. And it goes all through the city, and that city is coming down. Now, we saw that the city is the home of the bride of Christ. And we saw that when that city comes down from the third heaven, it's going to hover over what? It's going to, during the millennium, during the thousand-year reign of Christ, the bottom of it's going to hover over something and surround something. What is it, Joe?
I'm going to say Mount Zion.
Mount Zion. You know, people talk about Zionists, and they down the Jews for being Zionists. When they do that, I always say in my heart, these people are blind, dead. They know nothing about prophecy. Zion is the key to the coming of the world. Zion is a literal place, and it was where the temple was. And according to the Bible, it's a place right now where the Mosque of Omar is. Other scholars say it might be where Antiochus or one of the Greeks dug it up and flattened it, where the Gihon Springs are. But wherever Zion is, it's in Jerusalem. It's in Jerusalem. And that's going to be lifted up to be the highest hill on earth, like the highest mountain on earth at that time. And it's going to spread out. But right on the top is going to be the heavenly temple. I think, Cherry, you mentioned that. Before the millennium, that temple is going to be taken out of heaven and put on top of Zion. And so the New Jerusalem, the city that looks like a big diamond, is going to be hovering over the top of it. And the bride of Christ will live there. All those that were caught up in the rapture will live there. And you'll live on the one street of gold. There's one street of gold that goes through the whole city. That way, if you get lost, you don't have to worry. You'll go through the, just go to the street and go to the address. I want to live at 0007 Golden Way. You know, I want to, there's a home. According to Luke 16, everybody has their own home, their own house in the New Jerusalem. Can you imagine that? Living there. And you will have a job to do. What's your job to do if you've been faithful and you don't lose your rewards? What's your job as a believer during the thousand year when your home is up there and it's hovering on top of Mount Zion and around Mount Zion? What will be your job? Patty?
To rule with Jesus.
To rule over the earth with Jesus. World without end. To rule over the earth with Jesus. And people will be born on earth. There will be the Jewish nation. There will be Gentile nations. There will be people living. And your job will be to work in the government. It could be, you know, in the executive branch of government, in the legislature, the judicial. There will be different jobs, even worship, different jobs to do. Yes, sir?
I was going to say, even picking up garbage.
Yeah, but I don't think there will be garbage. I don't think there will be... They'll be what we have now. Remember, the curse is going to be removed. So all that we have now, the garbage, the sanitation, the potty, all that, you won't need it. You won't need it there. So it will be a different job then. Now, you just be faithful to the Lord for what he's given you to do, and do what you do is unto the Lord, And you will get your reward, not from Pastor Bloom, not from the youth pastor, not from the deacons, not from somebody in the church. You may get some applause, but no, the reward, seek the reward of the Lord. Because that's going to be lasting. That's going to go on and on, because whatever land he gives you to rule over, it will not only be for the 1,000 years, but beyond the 1,000 years. It'll be forever. World without end. Do you understand? I mean, that those are the rewards. That's just like an overview. So let's look at some of this in detail. Go to verse number 12. And when you get verse number 12, raise your hand if you can read it from the King James Bible. You want to read it. I'll have you read it. If you raise your hand, I won't call on you unless you want it. So raise your hand and I'll have you read chapter 21 of Revelation. And we're going to read verse number 12. Anybody? All right. Diane Payon. Let's do it.
And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and the gates 12 angels. And names were written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel.
All right. So number one in your notes, had a great and high wall that surrounded that city. Okay? Now, remember, you have the New Jerusalem. It's hovering over the top of this great big mountain called Mount Zion. And on the top of the mountain is something. What's on top of earthly Mount Zion, Cherry?
The temple.
The temple. The temple, the Jewish temple. And it's on top of Mount Zion. Now, you've heard of the holy place, the Holy of Holies, and the outer court. Inside of the Holy of Holies in the old temple, you have the Ark of the Covenant, you know, with the kea wood with gold on the crown of it, and it's got golden cherubim with wings over the top of it. There's a mercy seat where the high priest put the blood on it. In this temple, what's going to be in the Holy of Holies? Not the Ark of the Covenant. What? Yep. That's right, Jesus. You got it. He'll have a crown of gold. He will be called the King of Kings. And he will rule from the house of David. He's the monarchy of David. And he's going to rule the earth from the Holy of Holies in the temple, right on top of earthly Zion. When you say, I want to see Jesus, I'm in the New Jerusalem. Well, remember, the New Jerusalem, the base of it surrounds the top of the mountain and hangs over it. And so, excuse me, if you live in that city, he's going to be in the Thanksgiving. He's going to be in the center of it. And we'll share it with people on earth. So people on earth, if they want to see Jesus, they got to travel all the way from South America. Now they won't have the big oceans to go over, so they'll be able to get there. But they'll be in their mortal bodies. They'll have to travel to Israel to see Jesus. And walk up the mountain and then go to the temple, and there they can see Jesus. But we live in a house, we could get walk out of our door and see him right there and wave at him. And, you know, that's the truth. That's how it's going to be. And so that's what we have to look forward to. You know, people get all excited about partying, getting drunk, dancing, you know, getting naked, fornicating, and all that junk. But you're going to walk with Jesus if you see him. Now, if you're not into that, then you're going to go to hell. You're not going to go there. You have to be born again, get a new appetite, new heart. Because a lot of people say they believe in Jesus, but they don't love him. They don't have him in their heart. They're not going to make it there. It's not happening. So I'm just giving you that warning, you know, that's got to go always with this. By the way, we'll talk more about that, because remember, we're going to talk more about this city that's hanging down over the top, okay? Now, let's go on. Number two, it says, unlike the southern border of the United States of America, this heavenly city, the gated community of the wife of the Lamb, will be well guarded at each entry point. Remember that in the days of King Hezekiah of Judah, one angel killed 185,000 trained soldiers in the army of Assyria. Here in Revelation 12, we're shown that one angel guards each of the 12 entry points. So Revelation 21:12, it says that that, and I'll read it, it says, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. So, if you want to, now get this, if you want to travel from America, you don't have an ocean, you can go to Israel during this time, I say you, but I mean people living during this time on earth, and they will have to walk up the mountain and remember that the city is surrounding the top of the temple, but there is a, what did I just read here? There are gates that allow you to enter the mountain and go up the mountain. Gates of what? Gates in what? What surrounds the city? And we're going to get to that. I don't think we've read it yet, or have we read it? I don't remember. But there is, let's read it right now. Verse 14, it says, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So this city that's hanging above Mount Zion has a wall all around the city. And the wall has 12 foundations in it. Now, the city is just hanging like a chandelier. But I believe the walls, the best I can tell here, they must be embedded into the mountain at some point. And the foundation stones have the names of the 12 apostles. Because you have 12 gates to get up the mountain. And you can enter the city through those gates or the temple. That's the New Jerusalem. So you've got to go through those gates. But who did we just read that's guarding each one of those gates? If a person wants to get in there from the earth through those gates, who's guarding each of those gates? Yes.
An angel.
Right, Laura. A powerful angel. One angel killed 185,000 soldiers from the greatest army in the world of that day. So can you imagine some person comes in an unglorified body and says, hey, I want to go up the mount there and go look at the temple, and I want to get into the city of New Jerusalem that's surrounding it. And the angel goes, no, you're not vetted. You can't get in. Wouldn't that be great if our southern border was like that? You're not a United States citizen. You can't get in unless you go through a legal process. But now you can go in, you can get all the money you want, all the welfare you want. While American citizens, you're it's not America first, it's America last. That's under Biden, who's not even, I believe, the president. He was stolen. So just think about that. The New Jerusalem is not going to be like that. The New Jerusalem, you do not get in there, listen to me, if you're not born again. You say, well, I thought everybody's born again in the new millennium. Well, they are, but they'll have children. They'll be living in their unglorified bodies. They'll have children, and not all those children will be saved. In the best conditions, only God can change the heart. And a lot of these children are going to reject the Lord, believe it or not. Even in this beautiful thing when Satan is bound. And so the angel will say, no, you can't go in here because of that. And he will know who is and who's not. So isn't that really something to think about? And these walls will guard it, all right? Now, the gate is open all the time. But what do you think that each gate is made of in that wall? Anybody know? Yes, ma'am.
Rocks.
Not quite. Kathy?
Pearls.
Yeah, each one is a pearl. Can you imagine the oyster of that pearl with the large gate? But anyway, the Lord's going to make a pearl. And let's look at number 3. It says, not only is the wall guarded, verse 12, by angels at the entry points, but it's very tall. But now, not only is this amazing wall tall and unscalable, but the great or very thick. So let's look at this, chapter 21, and I want to look at the city, chapter 21, and I want to look at verse 16, if you would, with me. It says, "And the city lieth four square, and the length of it is large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, and it was 12,000 furlongs. The height and breadth of it are equal." Now, furlong, I looked at this and did a study of it and divided it up, and I found out the city is 1,380 feet tall, and 1,380 miles wide and deep. It's like a big cube, and the street goes all through the city, and there are different levels of the city where people live on that street, and it's going to have five times the land area of the present earth. In that one city, five times the land area, and it will hover over Mount Zion. And that will be the home of each of us that are saved in the Bride of Christ, that's called. And we have a home there, and there it is there, and you live there. Now, keep in mind, you don't have to walk there. You could fly. You could levitate, elevate, because Christ did with his glorified body. So you'll be able to fly. And so it will be a wonderful thing for us. You know, we'll run and not be weary, walk and not fly, lift up his wings. That's the literal. When you get your glorified body, you're going to fly. You'll never have to go to the dentist again. My son will be out of business. No dentistry. You'll have no need of dentist, no need of doctor. No need of testing. No need of any of that. You can still eat and have physical glorified body, but you will not have any of those limitations. And so it's going to be great. Now look at verse 17. He said he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits according to the measure of man. That is of the angel. Now a cubit is a foot and a half. It's about as long as my elbow to my... It's 144 cubits. Now, is that the height of the wall or the width of it? I don't know for sure. I tend to think maybe the height, because that would be how many feet high? 200, I think it's 216 feet high. That's a pretty high wall. I don't know, what's our border wall that Trump was making? Maybe 20, 30 feet? And this wall will be 216 feet, and it will be, if it's thick, it's 216 feet thick, and then it's as high as 1,380 miles. But I doubt that. I think it's 216, and it's to keep people out that are on earth, because we can fly right in there. But it's to keep people out on earth that are not saved. So they will not be able to get in the gate, because the angel will keep them out, and they can't climb the wall 200, you know, that many feet. They're not going to be able to climb the wall, okay? So that is kind of like a description of the city. And the wall will be all around the mountain, where on the top of it is the temple, and then the city surrounding the temple. Any question on that so far? We're looking at a detailed description here. All right, let's go on with that then, and look at number four. Even the New Jerusalem and earth, when Satan will be bound and the Spirit will be poured out like in no other previous dispensation, the heavenly city, the home of the glorified rulers of the planet, will need to have extreme vetting and a high, thick wall with angelic security to provide peace and rest for Christ's queen and bride. You see, even in heaven, in the heavenly city that we'll live in, and by the way, heaven will come down to earth, you will want to have rest and peace, and God will give it to you. No unsaved people will be able to go in there. There'll be nothing like that. There'll be nothing that is bad or evil or defiling in there. I believe we'll be able to see videos with big video screens, but it won't be the junk that you see today. You'll be able to probably see a reenactment of the crossing of the Red Sea and things like that. I mean, just it'll be great. To see, and you will have all of these wonderful things, but there'll be nothing that will defile, and no even unsaved person can enter in there from the a new earth that's going on at this point. So it'll be a place of rest. And even when you finish your job, your day job on earth that God gives you, you go back to your home in the heavenly Jerusalem, which is right above elevated Mount Zion there. And there will be. It's just going to be a glorious thing. But this is real. It's not like you're just an angel floating around with a harp in heaven. This is real. There'll be jobs to do. There'll be you'll have a world to build for God, and He'll use your talents and your abilities. So that's why I had you sing, "I Surrender All." If you're saved, surrender your body to Him to serve Him. Day and night now, because it'll be real easy to serve Him then, right? You will have no need of sleep. You'll never get tired. You'll never get sick. You will have no problem serving Him. But what you do now with your unglorified body, as it gets older, as it gets sicker, as you go through things, that will determine, if you're a saved person, that will determine what you do for Him in the millennium and even beyond the millennium. And if you're very unfaithful, all your rewards could be taken from you. And what does that mean? You live in the New Jerusalem, but you don't have a big job to do on earth. And I don't want to miss that. All right, now let's look at number 5. It says, notice John wrote that each gate to the heavenly city had the name of one of the 12 tribes of Israel on it. That's verse 12. But in 21:14, the wall that surrounded the city had the 12 apostles of the Lamb in the foundation wall of it. This revelation recorded by John indicates that the Lamb's wife, 21:9, is made up of resurrected and or glorified while alive believers of both Old Testament and New Testament time. That is, believers from Israel and the Gentiles during the previous 6 dispensations will now be raised and glorified and be part of the bride of Christ. And then it talks about Ephesians 2:14 and 19 and 20 and Hebrews 11:8 through 16. And basically what this is saying is that all of these believers that are saved through all of these 6 dispensations of God's dealing with the world from Adam right up until the rapture, that each one of these will be in the heavenly city as part of the bride of Christ. Okay? Now, which dispensation are we in now of the 6? We have them up here, all 6 of them. Diane?
Church.
We're in the church dispensation now. The previous one was the law. And then you have all these different dispensations, and the last one is the church right now, the 6. Everybody together will be part of the bride of Christ, or the church of the firstborn, and we'll all go up in the rapture. But keep in mind, the gate has each of the 12 tribes of Israel. Why is that important? Because when God spoke to Abraham at the beginning during the dispensation of patriarchal promise, He promised him that of his seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. He said He would make a great nation of him, speaking of the nation of Israel. And so it's through the nation of Israel that the Messiah comes, and through Israel that we're saved. And so that's why the church and the heavenly city has those 12 gates around it to say that it's through Israel that we accepted our Savior and got saved. And God will honor Israel into eternity. Are Israelites being honored today?
No.
In our college? No. They're being told, well, that land is not your land. You're occupiers and you're ruling over the Palestinians. Palestinians, Shmalestinians. The Palestinians are Arabs that are living in Israel. God promised that land to the Jews. Now, Arab people have land for them, just like you and I have land for us. But God promised the promised land to the Jews. You say, I don't like that. Tough. You're not God. You don't have the land. God said salvation is coming from the Jews. I'm going to honor them. They're going to be on the 12 gates of it. Are the Jews perfect? No, they've sinned. God showed how sinful they are. He's judged them. They went through Hitler's ovens. But still God chose them. Don't mess with God. If you know what's good for you, you'll bless Israel. All right? If you don't, then go ahead and run into God. But I'm just saying that's what people in the world are doing today. They're fighting God's plan. But the church is all going to be together in the New Jerusalem, and the 12 gates are the 12 tribes. Then the foundations of the wall will have the names of the 12 apostles. What does that mean? Well, the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. What's that? The apostles and prophets of the New Testament finished the Bible. And our faith is in this book right here. And it's the written word of God. Well, if we didn't have the Jewish apostles, all of them were Jews, that wrote it, we wouldn't have the New Testament. And if you reject the New Testament, I don't care if you're Jew or Gentile, you're going to die and go to hell. So that's important, that the foundation of our faith is the Word of God. And so the apostles will be at the foundation of the wall that gets us up into the city.